The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
We're on to the next game, okay? Can't have a hangover from this game and just get our focus back starting tomorrow on Pittsburgh.
Okay, Vic and crew back to work today preparing for the Steelers. Mark, you are preparing to call Broncos Steelers on Sunday for Fox.
Yes.
We were talking about the run game and how you were not impressed by it. How about the overall play of the offensive line that was down a couple of starters?
Of our offensive line?
Yes.
Yeah,
Garrett Bowles had a holding call, slipped out of the GB zone.
He did slip out of the GB zone a little bit, had a couple of confusion situations where his guys made some plays. I think that's, you know, I really think that's playing next to a rookie guard. I think that Dalton Risner probably does a lot to make sure that they are on the same page, that he and Garrett are on the same page. And you can see playing next to a kid that is a little bit overwhelmed and getting, you know, pushed around a little bit affected his game as well.
Is it a natural excuse?
No, it shouldn't. But when you get a guy who's a communicator that plays next to you, and I just know this from experience because we can get Gary Kubi or Gary Zimmerman on here and he'd say, Gary knew what to do, but I told him what to do on every play. And there's a security blanket in that. There is misery loves company. We're all miserable out there, right? You love to have the company. So, he has to be better. Hopefully Dalton's back this week. But there's some significant breakdowns, and I will tell you, and we'll move on. But this defense that they're about to play is every bit the defense that that Baltimore is. And they do a lot of things that are very similar that gave the Broncos a ton of issues last week.
Next on the Morning Brew.
This catch deep right center field. Take it for the left. You won't see this one for long.
Give it to me, Benny. You know what I need?
Dick shot.
Thank you. AT&T Sportsnet, Drew Goodman there with the call. Rockies and new general manager Bill Schmidt active yesterday, re-signing Antonio Sensatella and CJ Krohn. Sensatella gets a 5-year deal worth about $50 million. Krohn gets a 2-year deal worth about $14 million. I think the Sensatella one is the one that surprised a lot of people. Is this a move that makes sense for a guy who was 4-10 last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think one. Listen, he's 4-10, but he pitched. I mean, he had a 4.5. He plays half his games here, and he had a 4.5 ERA or whatever it was, 4-4, which is a good ERA for Colorado. He eats innings too. He gives you, you know, he gives you deep starts. He gives you a chance. And, you know, you're talking about a fourth or fifth guy in the rotation, right? Fourth guy in the rotation. So I think it's a good, like I said, innings eater, guy that's going to keep you in games. You kind of got to throw the records out when you're talking about starting pitchers. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good deal for the Rockies.
He pitched 156 innings this year, which was by far a career high for him. And he'll be only 28 years old, or 27 years old when
right.
the season starts next year. He'll have just turned 27. And so clearly they're betting on this guy getting better. I like the move. I like the move because, let's face it, finding guys that have the temperament to be able to pitch at Coors Field are difficult. And if you can find a guy, typically homegrown, that can handle the stress and understand that, hey, there are going to be days I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get tagged with 7 or 8 earned runs and my ERA is going to go through the roof and it's going to suck for the rest of the year and I'm going to have to stare at it all year.
Right.
But I'm not going to worry about it. And more importantly, the guys around me and the guys upstairs in the front office aren't going to worry about it. They can see my value. If you have guys that understand that, hold on to them. So I like both of them. I like both signings. CJ Krohn was fantastic this year. What a find he was. So
he was good.
Not a bad start for Bill Schmidt. But then again,
does that feel like they're doing things differently?
But then again, both these guys were here. They were here this year. So all you're doing is bringing back a couple of guys who are part of this year's bad team. Still good moves, but what do you do beyond that?
Hard to satisfy.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Here's the pitch. And he swings and drives one to center field and deep. Gardner going back, looking off. Goodbye.
Yes!
Xander Bogaerts. 2-0 Red Sox.
Red Sox radio, I'm not going to lie. I grew up a Red Sox fan. I came out of the womb hating the Yankees. Last night was a wonderful, wonderful night. And to see how the script has flipped since we've gotten into the 21st century, check this out. Last night's wild card win for the Red Sox over the Yankees means the last three times these teams have played in the postseason, the Red Sox have sent the Yankees packing. And the Red Sox have won 8 of the last 9 postseason games played between these two teams. And Gerrit Cole is getting crushed in New York today. Crushed. Back page of, I think it was the Daily News says, Gerrit bleeping Cole.
Did he give it up?
Oh, he had 2 innings. Lasted 2 innings.
Oh, my God.
2 innings.
Is he the new Kershaw?
He's going to be lugging that around all next year, no matter what he does next year, until he redeems himself in the playoffs. Yankee fan won't care. Next on the Morning Brew.
Now caught up by Landeskog. In comes Landeskog for Soderberg.
Benny. You couldn't find any Pavel Francouz highlights?
I like it, Benny. You know what? If it works, stick with it, Benny. I like it.
So the Avalanche lose last night in preseason play to Vegas.
Grr, Vegas.
Mm-hmm. But that's not the point.
What is the point?
The point is that Pavel Francouz, who was expected to be the backup goalie to Darcy Kemper, and the hope was that he would play some 30 games this year, is hurt again. A lower body injury.
Uh-oh.
And some concern that it could be rather significant. So we'll follow that and see what the status is with him as the Avalanche try to get their goaltending situation hammered out and solidified for the upcoming season. They're 1-3 thus far in the preseason. I'm not concerned.
You're not concerned about
I'm not
that.
Concerned, no.
But you are concerned about Francouz?
I am concerned about the backup goaltending situation as of right now, yes.
Are you concerned about the starting goaltending situation?
To be determined. Everyone's raving about Darcy Kemper and that he'll be fantastic and he'll make people forget about Philip Grubauer. Hey, whatever questions that you may have about Grubauer as a playoff goalie, he was really, really good in the regular season. But with this team in front of Kemper,
where's Grubauer now?
He'll be really good in the regular season, and Kemper will be measured the same way that we measure Grubauer. How do you play in the postseason? Did he go to Seattle? Is he a Kraken?
Oh, he may be a Kraken.
I think he might be. Hold on.
Well, this is important.
Sausage fingers activate.
Ruby. Will you get a video tribute?
He should.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's with the Kraken.
A great name.
Seattle Kraken.
The Kraken.
Okay, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. More film observations from Mark Schlereth looking at the Broncos and the Steelers, but deep dive observations from what he's seeing from the Broncos. We'll do that next. Denver Sports Station 104.3, The Fan.